The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I'm Hugh Hewitt. How are you this morning on this Wednesday, February the 3rd? So much news to report to you this morning. I like to bring up to speed by running through, just as I do show prep, I tweet stories that I like. And I start with my favorite of the morning from the Financial Times headline, WHO investigators probe Wuhan virology lab. So I first got to ask you, yeah, that's going to work, right? That's really going to work. Then I note from the Financial Times, which is probably the world's greatest newspaper, Hungary follows Poland in taking on big tech censors. Now, these are right-wing governments, Hungary and Poland, and they are upset that big tech censors are cracking down on Christians, conservatives, and dictators. Now, this is going to blindside our friends in Silicon Valley because, of course, they're used to the woke cafes of Palo Alto. They're not really used to Hungary and Poland. Big tech is run by brilliant computer scientists, many of whom never took ninth grade world history, much less AP government, AP political science, much less read broadly in newspapers. And so they're going to wonder, who's Viktor Orban and why is Hungary mad at me? And they've been so careful not to let the woke mob in the left in the United States bother them that they've ignored that there's a woke mob on the right. And so they're not going to be able to win, period. Most concerning story of the morning. In Brazil, there is a new strain of the coronavirus which has killed 225,000 people. Now, the story says second highest behind only the U.S. Now, I like to point out we have the highest recorded number of deaths because we have the best public health statistical compilation in the world. We actually count people. We may overcount people. I think if you ask most Americans, they think significant overcounting is occurring because very old people who develop pneumonia and it's COVID-related and die, who are going to die anyway, are counted. I have no problem with that because it gives us an idea of the reach, but a lot of people think we have an overcount. But I don't take part in that debate. I just point out most of the world doesn't count. Because they can't count, because they lack the ability. So that Brazil strain, though, is a very bad deal. It's not like the South African strain or the British strain. We don't know yet whether or not the vaccines that we have available to us will work there with as much efficacy as elsewhere. Meanwhile, the British Telegraph reports a great bit of news about the jabs they are giving them there. First of all, we ought to call them jabs all over the world. Better than doses, better than shots. You get a jab. Who doesn't like a jab? Dwayne's a walking jab. Everybody gets a jab. Like Ollie and Frazier jabbing away, right? So it takes away a little bit of the sting, pardon the pun, of getting the vaccine. A single dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is the one being used in the United Kingdom, prevents 2/3 of COVID transmissions. And the first jab prevents 100% of hospitalizations. That's pretty doggone effective. Other big story, the Perry Mason impeachment rolls on. No Chief Justice, an absurdist atmosphere, dueling briefs. And everybody knows it's unconstitutional, but they're rolling forward anyway. I'm personally keeping a list of the TDS afflicted who are simply addicted to Trump. And they're covering the impeachment trial like Americans care. Now, I want everyone who invaded the Congress, every single one, prosecuted. And I want the leaders tried on sedition and insurrection, and I want them to go to jail for a long time. Horrible day. The impeachment is a bizarre circus that is unconstitutional. My friend Ruth Marcus found a great conservative law professor, Mike McConnell, to say it's constitutional. Sorry, I go with Judge Luttig. I go with Dershowitz. I go with the plain reading of the Constitution. And I go with the 45 Republicans who said this is a kangaroo court. It's a Perry Mason, made-for-TV, absurdist political drama for the Trump addicted. Then we have an interesting couple of economic stories. There's a billionaire in the Wall Street Journal who's making big, big bets on this increasingly obvious story that Americans are going to continue to move to warmer climes. So he's investing in Howard Hughes Corporation, which builds in Texas, Hawaii, Las Vegas, and Maryland. I said to myself, what? I get Texas, I get Hawaii, I get Las Vegas. Maryland? Now I'm a Virginian, and as I look across the river, I say to myself, why did those people settle over there? They could have settled over here. Maryland has got ridiculously high taxes, terrible traffic, bad government, corruption, and crime. And Virginia's got Amazon. Speaking of which, Amazon. I think Jeff Bezos should be president. Now, I own Amazon stock, so you can say I'm just doing that because I own Amazon stock. And I work for the Washington Post as a contributing columnist, and so he's sort of my boss eventually. Somewhere way up there in the ether, there's a guy named Bezos who owns it. But between Bezos and me is a deputy editorial page editor, an editorial page editor, a publisher, and then there's Bezos. I've never met, talked to, seen, heard from, got a relayed message. Bezos doesn't care what his writers write. He cares about the Post. So Bezos has got this amazing company, which yesterday turned in maybe the greatest quarter in the history of publicly traded companies. Maybe. It's so astonishing that I can't even communicate to you how astonishing it is. They had fourth quarter sales of $125 billion. The whisper number was $110 billion. People were going to be happy if it got over $100 billion. It's the first time that Amazon sold more than $100 billion. They sold $125 billion. Net income. After all the COVID stuff they've been doing all year long, they spent billions and billions on COVID. They've been building new buildings all over the place, giving raises and bonuses. Net income for the quarter, $7.2 billion. The growth is phenomenal. The e-commerce sector grew by 50% last year, and Amazon got most of it. Their sales for all of 2020 rose 38% year over year. So if they made $1 in 2019, they made $38 in sales in 2020. They sold $386 billion worth of goods. I'm just telling you, it's nuts. They've added more than 500,000 employees. And people ask me, why do you own Amazon? You don't buy stocks. I said, I don't buy stocks. But Amazon isn't a stock. It's Godzilla. And so I buy Godzilla. And Godzilla might go. And Bezos announces his retirement on the day of this. They make this report on this day. Now, normally when a founder retires or when Steve Jobs dies, the stock takes a hit. That's not going to happen to Amazon because he timed it. First of all, he said, I'm leaving in 6 months. He picked the guy who runs AWS, their cloud computing thing, who's a giant brain, too, and a great businessman to take over for him. And it's a 6 month runway till he lifts off. He said he's really interested in the post, so maybe I will start hearing from Jeff Bezos. I don't know. But it's just the most phenomenal thing. And now I own Amazon stock. I don't know what they're going to do today. I know that yesterday they went up $37, and the day before that they went up $137. And they're going to, it's not a stock for trading, it's a stock for owning forever. But I'm just amazed by the guy. I just am amazed. I want to interview him. I sent a request off to a friend at the Post. I said, I want to interview this fellow. It's like interviewing Zuckerberg or Hillary Clinton or John Kerry. There are some people I want to interview. Jeff Bezos is on that list. Go nowhere, America. The worst story is yet to come on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Let there be no doubt. Big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. So why exactly are we choosing to give these big tech companies all of our personal data? The battle lines have been drawn. Big tech has made it clear which side they're on. Now is the time to take a stance. Protect your personal data from big tech with the VPN I trust for my online protection, ExpressVPN. See, every device, whether you're on your phone, laptop, or TV, has a unique string of numbers called an IP address. When you search for stuff, watch videos, even click on a link, a big tech company can use that IP to track all your activity tied back to you. When I use ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through their secure encrypted servers, so these companies can't see my IP address at all. My internet activity becomes anonymized, and my network data is encrypted. And the best part is you don't need to be tech savvy at all to use ExpressVPN. All you have to do is download the app on your phone. So stop handing over your data to big tech companies whose aim is to censor you and spy on you. Defend your rights. Protect your internet activity with the VPN I use every day. Visit expressvpn.com/Hewitt. That's ExpressVPN.com/Hewitt to get 3 extra months free. So go to expressvpn.com/Hewitt right now to learn more. What will you do when you're lonely? No one waiting by your side. You've been wrong, I've watched too long. You know it's just your foolish plan. Hey, welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I saved this story because it's a standalone story. It's awful. And it ought to make you think of every police officer, law enforcement officer, FBI agent, DEA agent, ICE agent out there. It's from the New York Times this morning. 2 FBI agents killed in shooting in Florida. By Patricia Mazzi, Adam Goldman, Johnny Diaz, and Christina Morales. The sun had not yet come up on Tuesday, yesterday, when a group of FBI agents assigned to investigate criminals who prey on children online approached the Water Terrace Apartments in Sunrise, Florida, to execute near Fort Lauderdale, to execute a search warrant, a routine part of the job that is always fraught with risk. What exactly happened in the ensuing minutes is unknown, but a gun battle broke out, rousting neighbors out of bed in the quiet residential community. Law enforcement officials called emergency dispatchers. Multiple shots fired, they reported. Send air rescue. Two FBI agents died. Three more were injured in one of the deadliest shootings in the Bureau's history. No agent has been shot and killed on duty since 2008. A similarly bloody shootout took place in a Miami suburb 35 years ago, killing two FBI agents and injuring five others. The man being investigated in this case, which the authorities said involved violent crimes against children, had barricaded himself inside the complex and was found dead. A law enforcement official said it appeared the man had killed himself before agents were able to arrest him. His identity was not released until his family could be notified of his death. Video footage from the local police station showed a grisly scene in the open-air apartment complex. A SWAT truck had rammed into the staircase railings that lay on the ground in tatters, bloodstains on the floor outside the apartments. The police swarmed in the complex, shutting down the roads, keeping people out of the fray. Christopher Ray, the FBI director, identified the two agents who were killed as Special Agents Daniel Elfin and Laura Schwarzenberger. Quote, "Everyday FBI special agents put themselves in harm's way to keep the American people safe," Mr. Ray said in a statement. Special Agent Elfin and Special Agent Schwarzenberger exemplified heroism today in defense of their country. The FBI will always honor their ultimate sacrifice and will be forever grateful for their bravery. Ms. Schwarzenberger, one of the FBI agents killed, was 43, a mother of two from Colorado, has been with the FBI since 2005. She was part of the Violent Crimes Against Children Squad in the Bureau's Miami field office, court records show. She was assigned to the Innocent Images National Initiative, a part of the FBI's cybercrime program established to combat the proliferation of images of child sexual abuse online. Breaking from the article here, there is a world of perverted, sick criminals out there who trade in this stuff. The other FBI agent, Mr. Elfin, 36, was the father of one from New York. He'd been a special agent since 2009. He basically got out of college and went into the Bureau. He was assigned to the Miami Child Exploitation Task Force. He discussed his role in an online FBI article after the 2015 arrest of a Naples, Florida man who ran what the Bureau described as the world's largest child pornography website. The site, I'm not going to give you the name, had more than 150,000 users around the world. That's how many pervs we've got in the world. Terrible, horrible people. They put their lives on the line at the hell of a price to pay, President Biden said to the agents in remarks from the Oval Office. My heart aches for the families. Two of the wounded agents, each of whom were shot multiple times, were transported to the hospital. The third, who was shot, did not require hospitalization. The FBI squads that investigate crimes against children are considered some of the most difficult assignments because of the disturbing and graphic nature of the cases they handle. Agents typically review horrendous depictions of children being sexually exploited, images that are shared online with others. They start with a tip, they go deep, they go on forever. We have no idea, we ordinary people, of that thin blue line, in this case the Bureau line, that protects us from millions and millions of evildoers. Two of them died yesterday. Our hats are off to the Bureau in their memory. Prayers for everyone involved. Keep doing. I can't stop singing along. Can you join in? Come on, I want more than just a slice of American pie. We're top down lovers. It's Saturday night. The band's running and it feels so right. The moon's dancing and the stars are free. I caught your heart on a summer breeze. Our memories.
There was a time a long, long time ago, Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swaying on a Saturday night. All right.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Senate Democrats kicked off reconciliation yesterday, meaning they're going to do a jam down and try and pass $1.9 trillion in relief on 51-50 votes. But they got a little bit of a spanner thrown into this plan by Joe Manchin last night, who went on Bret Baier on the Fox News Network. Cut number 17.
For it.
What, Brett, what I have told everybody, and I made it very clear from the President of the United States to all of my colleagues, we're going to make this work in a bipartisan way. My friends on the other side are going to have input, and we're going to do something that we agree on. I'm not going to do it just down the lines of just saying party line vote. It has to make sense. And if it's out of the realm that makes sense and what we've worked on together, we've built too much trust up among each other to allow this to fall apart. So they can count on me to make sure that we do everything to make this bipartisan.
So that sounds like a no if they try to blow it down the line. No,
we're not going to blow it down the line. They can't do it down the line. Basically, we've got to be able, for those who are defending their numbers, whatever they may be in whatever category, they have to show where it comes from, the sources, and where the need is. We have to look at basically how much we've already spent in those arenas. There's a lot of money that's gone out the door. And we all know that. I wish we would have been able to sit down and work through a bipartisan way. They all knew that. They knew where I stood. But I wasn't going to stand and not allow us to go down a pathway. And they're going back in history, Brett. In 2009, they said I wasn't here. They tried to work on the Affordable Care Act. They worked for 8 or 9 months negotiating, and then it all fell apart. We really don't have that amount of time. If it would fall apart, I don't think it would, but that's their interpretation of it. So I said, fine, we'll start this process, but I want you to know I will vote in a bipartisan.
Meaning he's not going to go for $1.9 billion. Now, he's got one specific, all right? So he gave a specific example of one of the Joe Biden wants in reconciliation that he's not going to go for, cut number 16.
Dollars an hour.
Brett, I don't think that's going to make it in because it doesn't fit within, I know it's an inside ball game, but inside the Byrd rule. Only thing we can do during this reconciliation is anything that comes within the financial realms of what we're dealing with. It's called a budget reconciliation. It has to be within the budget lines. That does not come within that at all, and it really needs to be debated. It doesn't work, and different states are different. Some states already have $15. I think anybody that goes to work in the morning and works 40 hours a week and works 50 weeks a year, that's 2,000 hours, should be above a family of three, above the poverty guidelines. And that's not $15.
And so Joe Manchin just said the $15 minimum wage cannot be passed on a 51-50 vote, which he wouldn't vote for anyway, because it doesn't fit inside the Byrd rule. Now, for some reason, politicians are afraid to talk about the Byrd rule. The Byrd rule was invented by Robert Byrd. Robert Byrd, when they said, okay, we'll have an exception to the filibuster. Generally, you need 60 votes to pass any substantive legislation in the Senate, which means it's usually got to be bipartisan unless one party's got 60 votes. And that's only happened for less than a year when Teddy Kennedy was alive after President Obama won. And right now, Democrats have 50, so they need 10 Republicans to pass anything in the Senate. It's a big check. It's a requirement of bipartisanship. Mitch McConnell, it was frustrating to Republicans when they owned everything back in 2017 and 2018, and Republicans wanted to get rid of the Byrd rule, wanted to get rid of the filibuster, and McConnell said, no, we need it. We got to have a check on the Senate, and we kept it. So now Joe Manchin is saying $15 an hour is not inside the Byrd rule. Well, also not inside the Byrd rule, D.C. statehood. You can't expand the Supreme Court. You can't add courts. Now, COVID relief generally has some weird stuff in it. The COVID relief, which passed in December, included a statement of policy regarding the succession or reincarnation of the Dalai Lama. All right, it's got stuff like that in there, like relocation tax credits for dogs. They got Mike Gallagher grants for NFL teams that won't go for it on fourth down with Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They've got, you know, Dave Barry and James Lilick's relief fund. in light of the humor crisis sweeping America. They got all sorts of stuff in the December bill. Won't work in budget reconciliation. So how serious, because someone will stand up and say that provision doesn't qualify, it's not budget related, and then they turn to the parliamentarian and they say, is it budget related? And the parliamentarian says yes or no. And if the parliamentarian says no, out it goes. But you need the Senate to back up the Byrd rule. And Joe Manchin says this, cut number 18.
I don't think there is any. You understand, I come from the state that had a senator who served this country unbelievable. But the bottom line was, he was a defender of the Senate. He used to tell me, Brett, he said, hey, Joe, he says, when I was governor, he says, let me tell you about the Senate. It's a special place. There's nothing like it in the world. He says, why do you think Rhode Island has two senators in California, the smallest and the largest? Why do you think that? Don't you think our founding fathers were thinking of basically how the big person couldn't press to the smaller person? Why do you think we have the filibuster so that the minority has input? This was ingrained into me. And he said, Joe, they even named a rule after me called the Byrd Rule. You know what that's there for, why I put that in? He said, so they couldn't go around the back door and do away with it. So you're talking about a person that's going to defend the legacy of Robert C. Byrd.
And so, Sinema and yourself, you're both public, but are there other Democrats you know of that would
vote
to bust up the filibuster?
I think there is. I really do. I think, though, and it's you know, they'll have to speak for themselves, but I've had good conversations, a lot of my friends, and I think there's people that feel exactly like I do. This didn't work well in 2013 when Harry Reid did it, and then Mitch McConnell did it in 2017. It hasn't worked well for anybody, okay? We should work together. Yeah. That's the purpose of this.
He's talking about when Harry Reid blew up the filibuster on nominees, except the Supreme Court, then Mitch McConnell said, no, we're going to blow it up for the Supreme Court, too. So the nominees are a straight up or down vote, which, by the way, is constitutional. Robert Byrd was talking about the filibuster in legislative and wanted legislative matters maintained. And the Byrd Rule maintains that discipline. When they pass the exception to the filibuster, it's for the budget reconciliation process. I'm very relieved by this. I think he's going to stick with it. That means there's going to be negotiations, and it will be. I do think we're going to get higher taxes out of this, but elections have consequences. Finally, though, he did indicate something that the Biden White House ought to listen to very closely, because Joe Manchin has the keys to the kingdom. Cut 19.
Administration.
Well, the bottom line, I disagree, and I respectfully disagree with the president in an executive order on doing away with the Keystone Pipeline. I've seen the train blow up in West Virginia carrying that crude. I've seen tanker cars explode going through towns. It's much safer in that pipeline than it is coming across the road or the rail. If they think they're going to stop that product, that's a heavy crude we need in our refineries. The bottom line is, I'm an all-in energy person, Brett, and we have to have energy basically and not depend on foreign energy. So we have to have the heavy crude. I'd rather come from Canada than I would from Venezuela. So all of this being said, we're going to find a pathway forward. But bottom line is, we can do it cleaner. You cannot eliminate your way to a cleaner global environment. You can innovate your way through technology, and that's what we intend to do. And in West Virginia, we'll build the new technology that the rest of the world can clean up the environment. This should be an opportunity. There's transition.
You see, the Brett Baer interview of Joe Manchin is what used to be the news. I have no idea what Brett Baer's politics are. He's the best newsman on TV right now because everybody will talk to him, left, right, and center. Everybody will talk to him. He doesn't get excited, doesn't try and screw you, doesn't try and ambush you, ask the important questions, ask them twice, make sure he understands. And so Joe Manchin, the most important person in the Senate, will go on with Brett Baer, and that's why special report ought to be mandatory viewing in American high schools and colleges. Because it's actually the real news. And their panels are left, right, and center. Smart people. It's a news show. It may be the last news show. There's some news shows on Sunday morning. But I think, actually, Special Report with Brett Baer is the last televised news show. I really do believe that. And you ought to watch it. You really ought to watch it. Now, I don't work for Fox. I work for NBC. But I think Brett Baer's Special Report is the last news show. Let me check the market for you, can I? Brought to you by Birch Gold. I tell people you got to own gold because we're going to spend another $1 trillion to $2 trillion on top of $4 trillion already, which is a $5 trillion extra amount of money in 12 months. We've never done that. Total national debt's going to go close to $30 trillion. We've never done anything remotely like this, not even in World War II. Our deficit is going to reach 130% of GDP. Now, it's because of COVID. There is a reason to spend a lot of money. We probably spent too much money. But $5 trillion means, I think, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, that inflation is coming. And therefore, what do you want when you've got inflation? You want to own gold. Gold went up 0.17% yesterday to $1,836 an ounce. Great entry point. It's been as high as 1860 in the last couple of days. Got up to 2,000 earlier this year. This looks like to me to be a stable point. You know, it might drop a little bit, might go up a little bit until the inflation begins to show up, the acceleration of all that new money begins to roll around as the vaccines roll out. But then you want gold. You get gold from Birch Gold. You can get to Birch Gold via HughGold.com. That's their shortcut. You can remember HughGold.com. Or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. And they will send you free information on either buying gold or transferring a portion of your IRA or your 401k into gold. So that's who I buy my gold from. I trust them. You can trust them. HughGold.com. Yesterday, the Dow went up 475 points. The NASDAQ went up 209 points. The S&P went up 52 points. The craziness with GameStop and silver began to break yesterday. People lost their shirt. As someone said online, there is not an unlimited pool of fools. And sure enough, that which went up is coming down, but not the market generally. And Amazon yesterday, as I told you in the last segment, I own Amazon, went up $37. I don't know what it's going to do today on the basis of this quarterly report, which is just phenomenal. Google had a good month, too, a good quarter. So it should be another good day on the market. But eventually, you're going to want to own some gold, put it in your safety deposit box or roll over a portion of your 401 IRA and put it into a Birch Gold administered physical gold that they keep for you in a vault. It's perfectly safe, perfectly reliable, great five-star ratings from the Better Business Bureau customers and that sort of stuff. Head to HughGold.com. Come right back. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, gave a press conference yesterday that I want you to hear. Ron DeSantis has become sort of the, I say there are four heirs to Trumpism without Trump. Tom Cotton, Mike Pompeo, Ron DeSantis, and Kristi Noem. Now, I don't know where the Republican Party is going to be in 4 years when they nominate, but if it's still in sort of Trumpist land, the four front runners are Tom Cotton and Ron DeSantis and Mike Pompeo and Kristi Noem. Because they are Trumpism without the Trump. They're just old-fashioned conservatives, actually. And I'll play you a press conference that Ron DeSantis gave yesterday. It was great. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I told you about Ron DeSantis. I just love Ron DeSantis. This guy, he just comes out and deals it. First of all, he comes out and talks about big tech siding with and suppressing the Hunter Biden story, cut number 11.
See, but there's no requirement for those that are posting on the internet to have any, any kind of regulation or any kind of, accurate portrayal of events. Because a lot of this is, the deplatforming seems to be driven by somebody who did something that provoked the platform's attention.
Well, I think it's been done in a way that's completely unprincipled. They mentioned the Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's story was true, okay? We now know it was true. And the typical corporate media outlets, they just chose to ignore it. Obviously, they wanted to beat Trump. They had a view on the election. They didn't want to give it any air. So we rely on social media to go around that, not let corporate legacy media outlets control the discourse and let us speak. So you had the New York Post to run it, and you couldn't get any traction. You couldn't get any reach on it. Because big tech put their thumb on the scale. So that was true. What they said at the time, it's a conspiracy or it's based on hacked information. Are you kidding me? You're trying to tell me if there was hacked information that could damage me, you guys wouldn't print it? Give me a break. You can whiz on my leg, but don't tell me it's raining. You guys would print it every single day if you could. And big tech would allow it to proliferate every single day, 24/7. So it's not being done in a principled basis. And it's not, there's threats on me. And it only gets taken down if law enforcement goes and tells them to do it. Otherwise, it just stays up. They're not moderating any of that. So they haven't done a good job in it. The thumb's always on the scale in one direction. And we just need to bring some protection for folks. I really, really worry when you have a business owner that may rely on some of these tools to do small business. If they engage in wrong think or they go to the wrong political event, then all of a sudden they can act in concert and just take you off. You need to have protection against that.
DeSantis speaks clearly. Everybody understands what he's talking about. Nobody can argue with him. I mean, they can argue with him, but they're idiots if they do. Then he went on to say loud and clear, big tech, stay out of Florida elections. Cut number 12.
The message is loud and clear. When it comes to elections in Florida, big tech should stay out of it. Now, big tech has long since abdicated.
I like that. I think that. Just stay away from our elections, big tech. Big tech is now hated by everyone in America, and with good reason. Also want you to hear John Tester, Democrat, Montana, on CNN, talking to the president about killing the pipeline. Cut number eight.
Look, I've been a supporter of the Keystone Pipeline, and there's been two caveats, and they've been basic caveats. You do it to the safest standards, and you respect private property rights. I think the Keystone Pipeline folks could have done a better job getting the Fort Peck tribe on board, and they need to continue working to do that. But in the end, I think it's a good project. I believe in climate change, but I also think that this one pipeline isn't going to turn it around, isn't going to turn our climate around, and it's not going to make it in markedly worse situations.
It just costs hundreds of jobs. Joe mentioned no dummy. There are a bunch of Democrats who are not going to go for the crazy stuff in this reconciliation. Lindsey Graham on the floor of the Senate yesterday, cut number 4.
What a $15 hour minimum wage has to do with fighting COVID, I don't know. But I do know this. Now is the worst possible time to increase the cost on small businesses in South Carolina in the restaurant hospitality industry.
A $15 minimum wage in a federal bill would be an absolute catastrophe in states where you cannot, I mean, it's nowhere near $15. It would be a catastrophe for small business. Democrats sometimes evidence an illiteracy about matters economic that is truly astonishing. Hour number 2 coming straight up, America. Go nowhere except over to HughHewitt.com. On my Twitter account, I have posted the most interesting graph on COVID I've ever seen. Go look at it. Tell me what you think it means on The Hugh Hewitt Show.